Okay, 34 new ideas on the Seder. These are the Seder greatest hits. What was the criteria selected over the last 20 years? I don't know. These are the ones that I think resonated, and I like them. There's no metric to decide what makes something a greatest hit. It's not like there's a bestseller list. So let's begin. I tried going in some sequence and actually try to hit another piece of the Seder so you have what to say across the board. There isn't one theme here. Each of the ideas are separate and self-contained ideas. First of all, from the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe. So it's a beautiful thought. The Sfas Emes says, we know the Shira Shirim Rabbah. The Medrash says, Pischuli Pesach Kechuto Shel Machat. Open for me the entrance, the eye of a needle. Va'ani Eftach Lecha Pesach Shel Ulam. And I'll open for you a hole the size of an antechamber. Meaning God says, and this Medrash is usually associated with the Yom Narayim. Just open me a little something, and I will then open for you a opening the size of an antechamber. Pischuli Pesach Kechuto Shel Machat. Va'ani Eftacha Pesach Shel Ulam. And I'll open for you a grand entrance. Says the Sfas Emes, beautiful insight from the Ger Rebbe. He says that on Pesach night, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Pasach, Pesamaches, Al HaPesach. He passed over the entrances, right? He passed over the entrances. And says the Sfas Emes, you know what that means? It means that God doesn't even need you to start even with that little hole. That little hole the size of the eye of a needle, the Pesach, God Pasach Al HaPesach. He skipped over it. Just show up to the meal. Just show up to the Seder. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's enough. As we know, the whole Pesach story began with Isarusa de la Eila, with God's awakening from above. Didn't need us to do a single thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's enough, it's time to get out, it's time to leave. Which leads me to Dvar Torah number 2, Rav Tzvi Kluger. Says, why did Hashem wait for us to get to the 49th level of Tumah before taking us out? Famous teaching that we were 49 levels of Tumah, we were almost obliterated. One more would have been gone. Od me'at ve'enish, a little more and nobody left. Why did God wait so long? Says Rav Tzvi Kluger, God wanted us to recognize that He didn't take us out because of anything outstanding about us, any achievement that we had, nothing, but for one factor alone, He loved us. He loved us. That's it. God's complete grace, unredeemed. Nothing we did deserved redeeming. There was nothing redeemable about us. There was no merit. We are 49. No one should ever say it's because we did. We are 49. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I still love you and I want to take you out. And that's the message of the Pesach Seder. While we're on the topic of Rav Tzvi Kluger, I'll give you Dvar Torah number 3. This is actually not in the greatest hits. This is from the new ones I was going to share with you, but it ties in anyways in Rav Tzvi Kluger. Rav Tzvi Kluger says, this is from the new Divrei Torah, it should flash on the screen, new Divrei Torah. Okay, so Rav Tzvi Kluger says, why do I have to read about the Makos of the Pesach Seder? What does it have to do with my Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's a side story. What happened to them? What does it got to do with me? Says Rav Tzvi Kluger, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that I know I want you to come out of Egypt. When we were in Egypt, we were slaves. I want you to come out. I want to bring you to Har Sinai. And the Jews are thinking, us? We're a bunch of lowlifes. What have we accomplished? What are we worth? God says, I want to prove to you how much I care about you. The evidence? Look what I'm going to do to anybody who dared to mess with you. Look at how I'm going to spend my time dismantling the enemy in front of your eyes so that you know how much I care about you. And I think that image ties into Rav Tzvi Kluger's other Vartar that I told you right before about God said, I love you just because you're 49th level of Tumah, you don't deserve it, God. That's exactly why I waited that far. That it has nothing to do with any merit that we had, that God just took us out. Next, Rav Levi Yitzchak Bar Ditchever. You can use this one when I'm talking about the beginning of the Haggadah, search for Chametz. I love this story. Rav Levi Yitzchak Bar Ditchever was always known for talking about the schus of Klal Yisrael. He always found merits for Klal Yisrael. And someone said, what's so great about your people? Tell me, what's so great about the Jewish people? They're not that great. He says, watch this. He turned to one of his chassidim and said, can you find me some illegal tobacco? The guy within a minute called a few guys. He called, his inner circle, had a few connections. He has a guy, got him some illegal tobacco within a minute. He says, oh, very good. He goes, okay, fine. He goes, watch this. He goes, find me some illegal fish. Within 3 minutes, a couple guys got together, they sat behind the wall, they made a few calls, a few guys came up in a van, opened the van, immediately a big piece of a huge illegal fish was right there. And then Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev said, find me some chametz in the middle of Pesach. Not a single one could find anything. Says Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, Mika Amcha Yisrael, who is like your people, who is like Israel, who you tell them to get rid of chametz, there's not chametz to be found in anyone's home, they've gotten rid of it, they've taken care of their obligations, their responsibilities to get rid of the chametz. Okay, the question is, when you have the equipment for the bedikas chametz, so the minig is that we burn the candle as well. Why are you burning the candle? Because it touched the chametz accidentally when you're looking? It doesn't make the candle chametz. So we burn the bag that has the chametz in it for the bedika, but why the candle? says Rav Moshe Hager Vizhnitz, you burn the candle as well. You know why? Because what is the chametz? The chametz represents for us before Pesach the Yetzer Hara. Anything whose job was to find darkness should not be kept around. Anything whose job was to find the negative shouldn't be kept around. And the candle's job was to find the negative. We don't hang on that for too long. We try to focus more on the positive. So one night we have to look around, look for the chametz, get rid of it. That was the candle's job. It did a good job, but now it's time to put it away, and we burn that with the chametz as well. That's from Moshe Hager of Vizhnitz. Now let's move on to the order of the Seder. The Seder has its parts to it. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. What does that all correspond to, these different steps to the Seder? So the Maharal says, the Maharal says there's 15 items in the Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. They relate to the 15 steps that it would take to ascend into the Beis HaMikdash. What a beautiful correlation between the two. It's a powerful image. As you're saying, Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Magid, Rav, the whole thing, you're imagining yourself moving one step closer, till ultimately at the end is Tzafo, right? Nirtza, is you're getting to the Korban Pesach, which is in the times when the Beis HaMikdash was around. So it's an evolution of starting as a slave, and then Urchatz, you wash it off, and you're moving up and up. The 15 steps are the 15 steps that were there to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. My Rebbe, Rav Yonah Fodor from Israel, pointed out that at the end of the Haggadah, we say, Chasal Seder Pesach, right? Kehilchasa. We've completed the Seder Pesach, the organization of telling over Pesach. That's a bad word. Those who know Hebrew know that the word Chasal is not a good word. We should say Gomrim, finishing. Mesaimim, completing. Chasal means like to terminate. We terminated the Pesach. Why do we use such a word, chasal? Says Rav Yonah Fodor, because the best we have right now is this is a halachic Seder. This is not real. Real would be if we were sitting in the Beis HaMikdash with our Korban Pesach. Real would be if we could be together, all of us in Yerushalayim. That's a real Pesach. So when the Seder is over, we say, Chasal Seder Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may you terminate the Seder as we know it now. Because Lashana Habab Yerushalayim. The next year we should be in Yerushalayim. Beautiful analysis of why the word Chasal was used. We have the four cups of wine. The four cups. So the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vosner. Right, Rav Vosner says the following, and has beautiful essays on Chanukah. So in his essays on Chanukah, he says that why do we have these four cups of wine and also the Chanukah candles? By both of those, you spare no expense to get them. Meaning, even if you're a poor person, ani over al psachim, the poor person has to go knock on doors, even to be able to have enough money for Chanukah candles and the Dalet Kosos. Why those? Says Rav Vosner, because those are both persumei nisa. They're both publicizing of a miracle. So what? He says both of those are the publicizing of a miracle in some of our darkest moments. And a person who's down and out and has fallen and has lost everything, they have to believe that they don't have to give up hope. There'll be a door that will open for them. And therefore, no matter what state you're in, you have to find a way to light Chanukah candles, and you have to find a way to get to the Dalet Kosos, to get to the four cups. Moreover on that, you know, we say, Tchila l'mikrei kodesh, zecher l'tzias Mitzrayim. Right? The beginning of a holy calling, Zecher li Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is the beginning of a holy calling a remembrance of Yetzias Mitzrayim that we say in the Kiddush? Says the Rupshitzer. The beginning of any great triumph in our lives, the beginning of any great renewal, it starts in Mitzrayim. All the great stories of a hero rising, of a victory in your life, it begins first with the Mitzrayim. Isn't that a great way to read that line? Tchila l'mikrei kodesh, the beginning of every great holy calling, the beginning of every great hero's journey, is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. It starts with a commemoration of being in Mitzrayim. Now let's go to the next one. This is from Rabbi Norman Lamb. Why do we recline to the left? So we know that we recline at the Seder. The Gemara mentions one reason, because Shema Yaktim Kana Leveshet. You might choke. So you want to lean to the right, to the proper side, so that you don't choke. But that's only one answer in the Gemara. The Gemara gives another answer why we recline. The other reason is because we want to be like free people. So Rilan says, where do we get that from, the free people sprawl out? That came from the Romans. What a funny thing. At our Seder, we have a minhag from the Romans. Why? He says, because the reason we're at our Sedarim and not Yerushalayim is because the Romans made sure there was no Beis HaMikdash. And almost in an ironic twist, it's as if we're saying to the Romans, you might have set us back, but you are no longer here. Who is alive to recline now? and that is our people are reclining at the Seder. And therefore, in that act of irony, we've adopted a Roman custom of reclining at the Pesach Seder. Then we get to Urchatz. Why does Urchatz, you know, Kaadesh Urchatz, of all the list of the 15, why does Urchatz have a Vav before it? None of the rest of them have a Vav before it. They talk singularly. Magid, Rachza, Motzi, Matza, but Kaadesh Urchatz. Why the Vav? So there's a Medrash, and I saw this from the Rav Zaitchik Haggadah. They just reprinted that this year, a beautiful Haggadah. Rav Zaitchik says the following. He says, you know, the Medrash tells us on Vayiten Lecha. Many people have a custom Matzei Shabbos to say the special prayer Vayiten Lecha. So the Medrash says that Vayiten Lecha, what's the Vav modifying? There's nothing beforehand. Vayiten Lecha, and God will give you, right? Vayiten Lecha. What's Vav there? So the Medrash says that whenever there is a Vav, and without it modifying anything beforehand, it means for eternity, and. It should always continue. Says Rav Zaitchik, so to this. Kadesh Urchatz. May we always be able to wash our hands. May we always be able to cleanse ourselves. May we be able, after every fall, after every time there's Tumah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, always and perpetuity, give us the ability to re-begin, to start over, to reinitiate, to achieve Tahara, to find a way to cleanse ourselves from past mistakes. Okay, that's Rav Chaim Zaitchik. Beautiful. Karpas. Karpas. So there's a famous Rabbeinu Manoach on Karpas. This is a famous Dvar Torah. Let me first say that because it ties into the twist that I shared a few years ago. Rabbeinu Manoach says, why in the world do we have the Karpas, right? So the Gemara says, so the children, kidei sheyishalu tinokos, so the children could ask the questions. Okay, but why that? We could, let's say, do a cartwheel Seder. Why Karpas? So the word Karpas appears in Rashi, and it's by Yosef. When they took Yosef's coat, so one of the colors of his coat was that it was a color of karpas. That's what Rashi tells us. It was a color karpas, some type of greenish color. So we take a vegetable, says Rabbeinu Manoach, which is zecher to the karpas, when the brothers dipped it in blood. Because the whole Seder begins when the brothers rose up against Yosef and threw him into the pit. That's how we ended up in Egypt. The whole story begins with brother rising up against brother, and therefore it's very apropos that the Magid begins with the dipping of the Karpas. That's Rabbeinu Manoach. It's very famous. But based on that, we said one year that there's a new pshat now in Yachatz, when you break the matzah. Why? Because the break was what happened with the brothers. Right there, at that moment, the break is being symbolized what happened when one brother turned against the other. Was it broken forever? No. The Afikoman is put away, and it comes back at the end of the Seder to reunify Yosef and his brothers. So Rabbeinu Manoach's Yesod plays out beautifully in the Vort Nyachatz and Afikoman. That Dvar Torah Afikoman reminds me of a Dvar Torah from a student I had along with the Satmar Rav. I didn't have a student who was the Satmar Rav. I told the Dvar Torah. I used to teach in New York a bunch of at-risk students, right? High school. And I told this Dvar Torah to get a rise out of them from the Satmar Rav. The Satmar Rav says the reason you break the matzah by Yachatz, you break it, is before you could do anything in Kedusha, the Magid, you have to get rid of the junk Jews. You have to get rid of the ones who are Tamei, right? The ones who believe false Hashkafas, you have to put them aside so you could tell the Magid story of the Haggadah. So I said that to the class, and one guy was going nuts on me. He was going crazy. And I said, what's wrong? He goes, it's not true. I said, why not? He goes, because we don't throw away the other half. We put it away and we care for it and we watch for it and we bring it out for the most important part of the Seder, the Korban Pesach. And what a beautiful message. That sometimes, even in the world of chinuch, sometimes in the world of education, sometimes in the world of the community, sometimes we feel the need that we have to create some distance between us and others. But it doesn't mean that they have to be gone forever. They can come back. They can come be reintegrated into the community for the most precious part of our Seder. We turn next to my favorite, one of my favorite and classic Divrei Torah that I tell all the time. People who know it, I say it ad nauseum, but I'll have to add a twist on it this year. So the Bava of a Rebbe asks why we do Yachatz. We break the matzah before we get to the Magid, the telling of the story. So first of all, I said over by Shalashuddis and Shul this past Shabbos, I forgot from who, that the reason we break the middle matzah is it's Kohen Levi Yisrael. It's Levi, the middle matzah. Lilavim, we're not involved in any of the avoda. So in order to include them in the avoda, in some of the backbreaking labor, we break the matzah symbolically to show that they too are involved, albeit on a different level, but they too have included themselves in the trajectory of our people, even though they could have remained separate and stayed far away. Okay, so anyways, but that's not the Dvar Torah. The Bava Rebbe says, why do we break the matzah right before the Magid? He says, because everybody has to go into the Seder recognizing that they don't have the full story. right? Everybody has to go into the Seder recognizing that I don't know the full story. I have to listen to you, and you need to listen to me. And we each need to share the full tapestry of our journey in order to appreciate where we've come from and where we're going. That's what the Haggadah is all about. Even afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, says Rav Asher Weiss in his Haggadah. Even if we're chachamim and we're nevonim, we're still chayef to tell the story of the Haggadah, because there's a nuance, there's something we could gain from listening to each other. Here it is, lahavdil. I want to add this year, I saw a beautiful quote from Italian writer Italo Calvino. Listen to this quote. It's incredible. He says like this: how do you establish the exact moment in which a story begins? Everything has already begun before. The first line of the first page of every novel refers to something that has already happened outside the book. The lives of individuals of the human race form a constant plot in which every attempt to isolate one piece of living that has a meaning separate from the rest, for example, the meeting of two people, which will become decisive for both, must bear in mind that each of the two brings with himself a texture of events, environments, other people, and from that meeting in turn, other stories will be derived which will break off from their common story. That's an amazing quote from Italo Calvino, the idea that each of our stories are incomplete and we have to recognize our stories include with it all the other stories that came before it. Which brings me to the Dvar Torah from the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, from Rav Knopfler. Rav Knopfler, I looked into this. He's related to Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits. That's right, if you were wondering. So Rav Knopfler, Knopfler, I think he goes by. Rav Knopfler says the following. He says, right, we say that, B'chol dor v'dor chayev odom liros es atzmo. In every generation, a person is obligated to recall, right, that chayev atzmo, the ones obligated to see themselves as though they came out from Egypt. So why say b'chol dor v'dor? It should say b'chol shana v'shana, each and every year. Why each and every generation? So that ties into what I said before with the Bobov and Lahavdil from Italo Calvino, that we don't come to the Seder alone. Each year we're coming with all the previous generations, those that came before us. Bechol dor vador, in each and every generation, meaning with each, bechol, with each generation we come, we are chayev to see the Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a beautiful Dvar Torah. That's a nugget that could be used every year. Again, from Rav Knopfler, not Rav Knopfler. Now, let's continue after that. So we continue in the continue along the egg, right? People forget sometimes to break up the egg, then it gets lost in the shuffle. So what does the egg represent? Lots of interpretations as to what the egg actually represents, but this one is from the Ishbitzer. No night, no shir would be incomplete, would complete without a vort from the Ishbitzer. The Ishbitzer says, what's the egg? The egg we know needs warmth, care in order to properly hatch, and therefore the idea is so too our people. Our people have been guided and cared for and watched for and moved along a certain trajectory that we never would have became who we are without that watchful eye of HaKadosh Baruch Hu watching over us. And that's the symbol of the egg. That again, yes, it represents the cycle of life, the Avelus, all those pieces. There's the ups and the downs. But at the same time, the egg can only produce if it's cared for, if there's a warm environment and it's nurtured. And such is the story of our people. There's a contradiction between the Opter Rebbe and the Belzer Rebbe, and I like putting them together on Magid. Magid's where we tell the story of the Haggadah. The Opter Rebbe says that Magid, on Pesach night, we have a greater ability to conceptualize. We have a greater, meaning people can explain things to us and we'll get it on a much deeper level on Pesach night. Our emunah's deeper, that if someone shares an idea, it goes straight into our heart. The Belzer Rebbe says, no, on Pesach night, we have a greater ability of articulation. That's why it's so effective. So you see, you put them both together. It's very nice. The Opter Rebbe says our strength in Pesach night is our ability to receive the information. The Belzer Rebbe says our strength in Pesach night is our ability to deliver the information. You put Opter and Belz together, and the information is flying, coming forth, and entering and exiting, and it's a magnificent night. This one is from the Maril Tzuntz. Who is the Maril Tzuntz? I didn't make it up. The Maril Tzuntz promised before he died that whoever publishes his Svarim, he will save them a spot in the world to come. That's what the Maril Tzuntz promised. So because of that, the Maril Tzuntz wrote on Hilcha Shchita. There's an inordinate amount of Hilcha Shchitas that were published in the name of the Maril Tzuntz because everybody wanted a spot in the world to come. So anyways, the Maril Tzuntz says the following Dvar Torah. He says, why do we say, in the Kol Dichvin Yese V'Yechol, whoever's hungry, come and eat. A beautiful invitation, right? Whoever's hungry, come and eat. Why in the middle of that invitation do we say, Halachmanya, here's the poor man's bread? It's like inviting someone to your home and saying, here, you eat the schlepper food over there. That's for you. You stick with that. Right? Kol dechvin yesev eichol, halach ma'anya. Why are the two in there? Says the Maral Tzuntz, comes this guy into your home, this Nebuch person that you invited in, and he feels like an outsider. She feels like she doesn't belong. She feels like she doesn't deserve this. He doesn't deserve this. You turn to the person who's come to your home and said, I came from the same place as you. I was broken like you once. Reminds me of the story, the Pesach Kron story that he likes to tell, of the fellow who had a tattoo, a dragon tattoo on his arm, who converted and was at the mikveh, and he put his arms on his hands on his arms to cover his tattoos, and he slipped by the mikveh, and his hands became, and unfolded his hands, and he was totally embarrassed. And a survivor reached down to him to pick him up and showed him on his arm was the tattoo from Auschwitz and says, I also had my Gehenim. Come up with me and we go to the mikveh. So that idea as well over here, a beautiful thought, a beautiful idea of the Maral Tzuntz, that you're turning and you're saying, Halach ma'anya, when you say, Kol dichvin yesi v'yechal, whoever's hungry, come and eat. I was like you once too. We also had our Kol dichvin yesi v'yechal. We also came from the same background. Halach ma'anya. Why do we start the Seder with Kol dichvin yesi v'yechal, whoever's hungry, come and eat? The question is magnified, of course, everybody knows that it's too late to invite anybody at that point. So it's more about the message, says Rav Aaron Cutler, a beautiful Dvar Torah. The Geula can only begin with a chesed. How do we know that? The Geula begins with chesed because we find that Moshe Rabbeinu, vayar besivlosam, he saw their affliction. Once he noticed what the people were going through, God says, now the Geula is ready to begin. The Geula begins once you notice other people. Vayar besivlosam. That's why the Haggadah on Pesach night must begin with kol dichvin yese v'yechol. Whoever is hungry, come and eat. That's from Rav Aaron Cutler. One of my favorite Divrei Torah that I found in the Rabbi Riskin Haggadah, and then I later saw it also in the Rav Schwab's Haggadah, the following Dvar Torah, that what are the four sons at the Pesach Seder, the four children? They both understand it as the four archetypes of our personality. God says, I want you to bring all of it to the Pesach Seder. I want to see your rebellious side. I want to see your wise side, your simple side, and sometimes the side that's humble enough to recognize that you don't even know what the questions are anymore. God, they're all four parts of one personality. It's a beautiful way of seeing that. And, that's a common theme that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. You know, for example, on Yom Kippur, we know we ask for permission, mutar lehispalel im avaryonim, permission to pray with the sinners. Who are we talking about? I saw one interpretation that we're talking about ourselves. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu permission to pray for the side of us that isn't always that great. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Seder, I want to see all the four types of your personality. The Kotzker Rebbe, beautiful Dvar Torah, so simple. The Kotzker Rebbe says that matzah and chametz, it's funny, chametz is so dangerous. A chi of karis on Pesach, it's the worst thing. It symbolizes the Yetzirah. So if it's so bad, why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu make the mitzvah of the night something that can never become chametz, right? If chametz is so bad, the mitzvah of the night should be something that can never become chametz. It's so far removed, like a nectarine, right? Why was it a matzah? A matzah, one more minute in the oven, and all of a sudden it becomes chametz. The answer is, says the Kotzker Rebbe, that that's true avoda. True growth is not removing yourself from the world and deleting everything around you. It's living right at the edge of what it means to live and saying what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ad Kan, here is the line. This is where we draw the line. Right there is where I stop. That's what it means to be alive, and that's what it means to be a Jew in this world. Remind me of Yaakov Kamenetsky's Dvar Torah, why we make a bracha by a pigeon, a ben. When you buy back the firstborn child, you make a bracha, Shechianu. It's a festive moment. What do you mean, festive moment? The child was supposed to be dedicated its entire life to the avoda of the Kohanim and the Levim. And here you are buying back the child. It's a degradation. Why are you making a Shechianu? Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, because the apex for a Jew is not to be removed from the world. The apex for a Jew is to find its avoda within the world. Within the world itself. And from there is the Ikar Avoda of a human being. That's how we find Avoda in this world. Let's continue. That's the Kotzker Rebbe. Let's go to the Koznitzer Magid now. The Koznitzer Magid on Mitchila Ovde Avodazara Hayu Avosenu. At the beginning, our forefathers worshipped idols in Egypt. Why are we bringing up the old laundry, Nebuch of the great grandparents? Why are we bringing up what they've gone through? Put it aside. That's the past. Let's move on. Why are we bringing it up? Says the Koznitzer Magid, it's very important to know, because each of us have to recognize that no matter what our past was, no matter where we were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in our ability to come forward and to step out of that and to step into a new truth and the ability to restart and to reboot and to use something from our past and make something of it. That's the Koznitzer Magid. Rav Moshe Shapiro, the great Baal Machsheva from Yerushalayim, is a new Haggadah that came out 2 years ago. So he noticed the four questions are never really answered. They never really answer. Look for the answers in the Haggadah. Everyone tries to find how we're answering. The whole Haggadah is an answer, or this Haggadah. Rav Moshe says it's not answered anywhere. Why? Because at the end of the day, it's about being heard. It was just about being heard. That's the one thing a person wants to know at the end of the day, that someone is listening to my questions, that someone is hearing me. What the answers are, okay, we'd like to know answers. We'd like to have tshuvas. But at the end of the day, it's really about being heard and being recognized. Beautiful interpretation. If you notice many of the classic Hebrew Haggadahs, it says before the Neman Ishtana, Kan HaBen Shoel, here the son asks, right? Here the son asks, Kan HaBen Shoel. So I saw from Rav Leibele Eger, the grandson of Rabbi Akiva Eger, who became a chassid, Rav Leibele Eger said, Kan HaBen Shoel is really not, it's not instructions that were inserted in the Haggadah. It's part of the Haggadah. It's talking about us, Knesset Yisrael. Kan HaBen Shoel, here's where the children ask. Here's where we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we ask for whatever it is we want on Pesach night, because everything is open to us. We say, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Blessed is the Makom, blessed is who. So first of all, I heard from Ramosha Weinberger, the reason that introduces the four sons is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you that no matter where you fall, you always fall in God's lap. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. No matter you are, where you are, it's the place of Hashem. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. But just on a twist of that, I saw from Rav Schwab's Haggadah. Rav Schwab asks, why is Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu? He says, whenever there's loss, it leaves a hole in the universe. And we invoke Hashem's name in the moment of that loss. We say, HaMakom Yenachem, as saying, there is no empty space in the universe. Hashem fills that space. That's why we say HaMakom. That's what the Kaddish is about. The Kaddish is about that it's a moment of great Chil Hashem when there's death. And we glorify and exalt Hashem's name at that moment to say that there is no void in the universe. Says Rav Schwab, some children never made it to the Seder. And we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have a plan. Why the Sfar Torah is so incredible is to think about that Rav Schwab lost his entire family in the Holocaust. He lost everyone. And to say this Sfar Torah, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, that he's saying that not every child made it there. Not every child showed up. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, I know that you fill every space. You're there. You're there with those who didn't make it. The Kloisenberger Rebbe says the animal mentioned here at the beginning of the Chagadah is the Korban Pesach. For those who are keeping track, by the way, we're up to number 27. The animal mentioned here in the Haggadah is the Korban Pesach, in the Chagadah. Right? And it seems that way. When you read the story about the goat, Korban Pesach, why not? The problem is because you paid two zuzim. You cheapened out, right? Just get me the cheap lulav for Sukkot. Get me the cheap one, right? Get me the cheap Korban Pesach, the two zuzim. What are you spending the money on? What are you spending it? What are you saving? Are we saving it for mitzvahs, for that which is important to you, or for the other stuff? And that's what the Kloisenberger Rebbe says. I'll show you a Dvar Torah and Chagadah. This one is a beautiful Dvar Torah from Reb Chaim Baruch Rubin. If someone sees him, let him know I quoted him in my Haggadah here. So Reb Chaim Baruch Rubin says, what's the point of the whole Chagadah spiel, right? So he says it comes right on the heels of the child saying, I know one. Echer ani yodea. I know one. You've reached such a high madrega. And once you profess your amuna in life, right? You're very frum now. You're religious now. I know one. All of a sudden, that's when all this little stuff in life starts going wrong. Every little detail, the fights and the quarrels about this and the coat that bit the cat. And you tried to live this very spiritual Seder and all of a sudden things are falling. Everything's making a mess. The details are not working out, right? And the trajectory is not going the way you thought it was supposed to go. That too is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That too is from Hashem. Not just the highlight amazing moments, the Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, but the little details of life that seem to be a struggle and a challenge and tear you in different directions, that too is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the message of Chagadah. It's not just the moment of Echer Ani Yodea, aha, but it's also the moment of the Chagadah, the two that pit the cat, that bait the goat, all right? The Chagadah story, all of it is included in it. The Chasam Sofer in his Drushas, right? He says, let's say... He says like this. He says, let's say all of a sudden you invite, this is going to go back to the beginning of the Seder. The Chasam Sofer says you invite the person, Kol Dichven Yesev Yechol, whoever's hungry, come and eat. Says the Chasam Sofer, what if everybody answers the call? Where are you going to put them? What if everybody answers the call, Kol Dichven Yesev Yechol, where in the world are you going to put them? Says the Chasam Sofer, we know from the Gemara tells us that in Yerushalayim there was a miracle. Nobody ever said, Tsar li hamokom azeh, this place is too cramped for me, right? I have nowhere, no room. When it came to the Beis HaMikdash, there was always room. says the Chasam Sofer, when it comes to your table and you open your home, there always will be room. There's a haftacha that there's a miracle. If you open your house to other people, there always will be room. Reminds me of a Dvar Torah from Rav Yankel Galinsky, the great Maggid of Bnei Brak. Rav Yankel Galinsky says, you know, the shear for sukkah is minimally 70 centimeters. He says, you walk around Bnei Brak, half the people there really are getting by with a 70 centimeter sukkah because that's all they have room for. But yet, if you notice, they have room for all the ushpizin in the world to come in. All the guests, the spiritual guests could come in. He says, why? He says, when you're living with the recognition that this world is just a prozdor, a passageway, a dira sarai, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's room for everybody. When you recognize that it's lechemoni, that you're going to break the matzah with everybody, there's room for everybody to have. Which reminds me of a great Dvar Torah from Rabbi Jonathan Sachs. This is incredible. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs in his Haggadah quotes Primo Levi. Primo Levi's talking about his time in the Holocaust, that those who were sick were left behind in the concentration camps. The Nazis started liquidating, getting everybody out of the camps at the end of the war. But they left the sick behind. They didn't want to bother with them. And Primo Levi says, after a few days there, we started to recover and get better and healthier again. And it was at that point we were actually able to share our food with each other. And the moment we shared our food with each other was the recognition of now we're free. Because a person who isn't free does not have the luxury of sharing their food with other people. They can't. They can't do it. The first sign of freedom is that now you can share. Says Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, based on that Zetzal, based on that Dvar Torah, he says beautifully, he says, that's why we say, Kol dichvin yesev yechol. What's the connection of whoever's hungry, come and eat our Seder? Because we're saying a sign of your ability to be free is the fact that you can share with others. You can choose to include other in your portion and with them as well. I think that's incredible. That's incredible. Okay, Vihi Shamda. Vihi Shamda, we usually translate it and it has stood for us. I heard from Rav Meir May. Rav Meir May, he says the following, Vihi Shamda, she has stood for us. Who is the she? The Nashim Tzidkanias, the righteous women throughout history. Vihi Shamda, he is, means she. She has always, what has always kept the identity of the Jewish people going is Vihi Shamda. It's a wonderful Dvar Torah. Koyden of a Rebbe. I always got to bring in the Koyden number. So the Koyden of a Rebbe says, we say, Yachol Mirosh Chodesh, you may think from Rosh Chodesh you should do it. No, Bayomahu. We do it Bayomahu on that day. Yachol Mirosh Chodesh, right? Part of the Haggadah where it's getting dry in the middle. So the Koyden of a Rebbe says, the word is, you might think I need to wait till I renew everything. Right? I'm going to start the diet Mirosh Chodesh. Let's wait till Rosh Chodesh. Nah, stop it. Bayomahu, you start right now. You begin right now. Bayomahu, on that very day. Don't wait Mirosh Chodesh. You don't wait for that later time. Classic from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says the four cups are parallel to the four suns. Everybody knows that he says. But if you go through it then, that means the second cup correlates to the Ben HaRasha. If you then follow that by its logical extension, it means that the bulk of the Seder then correlates and is speaking to the Ben HaRasha. Iker HaHagadah Shel Pesach Hu L'Taken HaBen HaRasha. It's speaking to the Ben HaRasha. It's unbelievable, right? If the second cup is parallel to the Rasha, and the bulk of the Seder is for the second cup, that means the bulk of the Seder is speaking to the Ben HaRasha. Now here's the twist of Lubavitcher Rebbe. He's incredible. But it says about the Rasha that if he was in Mitzrayim, he wouldn't have been redeemed. Ilu haya sham lo ya nigal. What does that mean, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe? Only Lubavitcher Rebbe knows how to twist that into a positive line. He says, you know what it means? It means that that was before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, if the Rasha was there, you would have had no way to reach them. But now that we have a Torah, you have a whole night to reach the Rasha. You have days to reach the Rasha. You have so many ways to reach into their heart and pull them out from where they are, from where they're stuck. I heard this one from Rav Yonah Landau from Tomchei Shabbos. Rav Yonah Landau from Tomchei Shabbos says, when we dip, there's a big question. One of the manishtanas is why we dip on this night, right? With the dipping. How come when we dip the apple in the honey on Rosh Hashanah, there we didn't ask a manishtana? How come tonight when you're dipping, yes, there you didn't ask? He says, when everything is sweet and going well, nobody asks any kashas. When everything is sweet and going well, nobody asks any questions over there. I thought that's a wonderful, wonderful Dvar Torah from Rav Yonah Landau. Next. This is from, I 1 year decided to, what do you call it, social canvas, when you throw it out there on the internet and see if someone has an amazing Dvar Torah. There's a word for I'm getting it wrong. Crowdsource. When you crowdsource, I crowdsourced the Dvar Torah like 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And one individual, his name is Lavovitz, I threw it out there, and he answered me. He says, my favorite Dvar Torah, he said, that the point of Korech is when you make that sandwich and bring the Marach HaRoset, everything together, Marach HaRoset. He says that after the Maggid, after we've told the story, you should learn that there are many different flavors. It's a beautiful, simple message. The message of Korach is that after you've told the story, the Maggid, you have to remember and recognize that while you heard that story, there are many different flavors. There are many different ways to approach and arrive at that story. I thought that's incredible. Then we say in the Haggadah, Tzelumad, right? Tzelumad, right? Go out and learn, right? Tzelumad. It's the part of the Haggadah where they're darshaning a lot. This is also from the Koidnavr. This is such a simple Dvar Torah, and it's good, and it's useful because it's in the middle of the downtime of the Seder. Tzelumad says, means what? Say, leave and learn. Leave what? Leave your preconceived notions. Get rid of what you've always thought. Ulamed, and learn, and now you could learn new. Once you get rid of everything from before, you could then learn fresh and you could learn new. Forget everything you know beforehand. People know me, know one of my favorite stories when I went as a kid to Shaolin Kung Fu, right? The teacher met me the first day, Sifu Wong. They showed me a cup half full with water. They said, this is your brain today. They emptied the water and said, come back tomorrow when cup is empty. That's Tzelumad. Get rid of all the junk you had before, and now you could clear your mind and learn for new for the first time. This is from one of the Hasidim of the Baal Shem Tov that told us Yaakov Yosef of Polonoi. This is an incredible Dvar Torah, and I'll share with you a twist in it that I added from one of the Shabbos HaGadol drushes I gave one year. He says, why are the rabbis celebrating in Bnei Brak by Rabbi Akiva? Why'd they go to Rabbi Akiva? He wasn't the Rebbe. Why'd they go to Rabbi Akiva? So he said they needed something very special. This was Golas time. And the Gemara in Chagiga 14b says that Dalid Nichnasu Lepardes, four people entered into the Pardes, right? Four people knew how to go into the Pardes. And those four people, only one came out alive. Only one came out intact. So, who? Rabbi Akiva. Because once you go too far in, Achrei HaPargod, you can go out of your mind. They went to Rabbi Akiva to learn how to enter into the inner reaches. Ma'achrei HaPargod. That's why they went to him on Pesach night. What I wanted to suggest was that maybe that's why the students had to come and shake them and say, it's daybreak. It's time now for the Kriya Shema. Why didn't they know it was daybreak? Because they weren't in this world anymore. They were already in the other realms. They were Achrei HaPargod. They were in another dimension. They were another existence. They didn't know from what was happening in this world. And therefore, they need the student to bring them all in. Okay. One more Dvar Torah I want to close with from the greatest hits, and then share with you just three insights from the new Haggadahs. There's so much to say on the new Haggadahs, there's no end, but I just want to give you a little taste of them. You know what, then I'll close with that, my Dvar Torah for my greatest hits. First of all, I shared with you Rav Kluger about the Makus. I shared with you already. Rav Itchemeyer Morgenstern. I love Rav Itchemeyer Morgenstern. He just put out his Kabbalistic teachings on the Seder in a way that could be digested by human beings. People who can understand on a very simple level. He says there are multiple ways of coming to Hashem. One way is going to the root itself, the Ikar HaChachma, the essence of wisdom. That's the matzah. Matzah's Chachma. Matzah Dimnusa, the bread of faith. Then sometimes you appreciate a Kodesh Baruch Hu through Bina, through understanding and recognizing the details, looking at the details and seeing a Kodesh Baruch Hu in a specific event, right? So what's that? That could be understood as, so the first one he says Motzi. Right? The first one is motzi, right? You motzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you chachma, you see it. Matzah refers to the Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we left Egypt. It was a specific event that brings us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then there's korech, which is das. Chachma, bina, das. Das is when you begin to put it all together. Korech is when you can look at the big picture, which is chachma, and the details, bina, and you can put it together in one, and you say, aha, now I'm seeing everything. And that's what the Korach is. A twist on what's an innocent sandwich that no one pays attention to suddenly becomes such a heilige thing. Rav Gladstein, who has a beautiful Haggadah out. Rabbi Gladstein, here is his commentary on Pesach. So in his Haggadah, Rav Gladstein writes the following. He says that, well, who's the author of the Haggadah? Who wrote the Haggadah? He quotes from the Tzemach Menachem, who heard from his Rebbe, Rav Simcha Bunim of Peshischa, that the author of the Haggadah was none other than Eliyahu Hanavi. How does he know that? He says he has a Masorah that way, but the language of the Haggadah is Eliyahu's language. How do we know? Baruch HaMakom is a language that's used in the Tana Debe Eliyahu, Midrashim from Eliyahu Hanavi. That language is used more than three times. So that language shows that the Haggadah was from Eliyahu Hanavi. Why that's a nice Dvar Torah? It explains why we open the door for Eliyahu Hanavi by the end of the Seder. Look, we're learning your book. Come inside. We've been reviewing your teachings. We've been reviewing your Divrei Torah. That's a nice Dvar Torah from Rabbi Gladstein. The Lelev Haggadah. Okay, the Lel of Haggadah, I'm going to close this one, and then one more Dvar Torah for my greatest hits. The Lel of Haggadah was the Haggadah of the year last year. I mean, hands down, it was incredible. Actually, none of them made it to the greatest hits, but I think it's only by mistake. The whole thing would have been Lel of tonight, if you ask me. So the Lel of writes in the Lel of Haggadah, page 155, he says that the Eish Kodesh was Rav Konamis Kamen Shapira Piazetzna, who was killed right by the Nazis. It was known as the Chovis HaTalmidim. He wrote a student's obligation, the Eish Kodesh, the holy fire. So he wanted to inspire his students before the Seder. And he turned to them and he said the following words. It's incredible. Techef soon, kishemagia tfilos ha'erev balayla, when we're going to get to the Marav, yismach ha'esh begodel zchuso, right? That a person will find, yismach ha'esh, the person should find in his great zchus, ma ma'usharani, a person should think, wow, fortunate I am. Shezachiti el hashlemus. Aliti ela olam ha'elyon. I've been allowed to enter by Hashem into the upper realms. Hein emes sheyeshli daigad. Yeah, I have many physical things that concern me. The money, the this, that. And even spiritual. I'm a failure. I don't daven all the time. Avalata, but now, tonight, et hakol hishlachti mimeni. I've thrown that all away. Ve'ein liata, and now rak la'amod betoch ha'machane ha'gobel shomalachim. Tonight, we stand among all the angels. Right? Tonight, we stand among all the angels. That's what he told his Talmidim, his last Pesach Seder, before he was taken into Auschwitz. Incredible words. Tonight, we stand among the angels. Right? And I close, I always like closing with something on Lashon HaHaba B'Yerushalayim. This one was told over to me by my daughter, Esti Einhorn. Beautiful aura. She asked one year, how come by Halach Ma'anya, we mention the land of Israel, right? Halach ma'anya, kol dechvin yisvechol, l'shana haba b'nei chorin, hashtahacha, right? Ba'ara di Yisrael, in the land of Israel. But at the end, we say, l'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. Why is it once Israel and once Yerushalayim? And she wanted to answer the following way. She says, the beginning of the Seder, we're feeling broken down. We're feeling low. We're in a depressed state. We're avadim hayinu. We just want to get home. We want to just come home. And that's Israel. But by the end of the Seder, we're by Madregas de Kedusha. We're on holy high levels of Kedusha. And already our mind can conceptualize and distinguish that it's more than just coming home. It's about coming back to Yerushalayim, to the Makom HaMikdash, to a holy spot in this universe, and coming in proximity and close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to just wish everyone here a beautiful, beautiful Pesach. I'll be putting in the email a link to a Shabbos HaGadol Drasha along with the audio from tonight. The Shabbos HaGadol Drasha is a beautiful filmed video of a new shir on Shabbos HaGadol. We'll send that out along with this audio. I want to wish everyone, on behalf of Shira and I, a beautiful Pesach, a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Everyone should just be healthy. And may next year we all be sharing this, not on Zoom, but in live, in Yerushalayim, near the Makom HaMikdash. B'mehei Rabbi Ameinu.